Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
Today we got to talk about still navigate hardship, but waiting upon the Lord. Boy, it looks like it's hard to wait, especially when somebody is late for an appointment. Right, okay? But waiting doesn't mean inactivity. Waiting, if there is a way of being able to wait upon the Lord and see the glory of God, and the story that is about to unfold to you today will be something that, you know, God would want for us to see in a fresh and new way. How many of you have heard the story of Lazarus on the tomb? Come on. There you go. All right. Thank you. Hallelujah. God called him out. I see that this story seems to be in parallel on how God is calling out United States of America. I think I was talking to the air. God is calling United States of America to fulfill its destiny for the purpose God has made it to be. We're not just another country in the United Nations. We are a missionary nation. We are an apostolic nation. We are a preaching of the word of God nation. Come on. Hallelujah. We're not going to give that to another country. Mexico can do it. Canada can do it. Hey, but it's ours first, right? We're going to share that calling to many other nations, but we're not going to give that up. Because that is why God made us to be. And there will be many destruction or things that's going to happen. And yet we believe God has a new way of refreshing us of that calling. That's why he's calling us to this new mandate. Hallelujah. Jesus, in the next few minutes, guard our thoughts. Hallelujah. When I say, Lord, guard our thoughts, that it would only be focused on you. Guard our hearts that we will continue to throb and beat after your own heart. Guard our vision to continually follow you. You're the only light. You are the only guiding light. And may the working and impression of the Holy Spirit continually speak to our hearts so loud it would be the only voice that we're going to hear. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give an applause to Jesus. Thank you, Boone. Thank you, son. Blessings. Hallelujah. Let's start with first the basic scripture that we have learned for this many years. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 40, verse 31, and reads this way. But when I start reading that, and if it's up there on the screen, I started numbering it so you would see that there are like six different things that this scripture talks about. So here we go. Everybody read with me aloud. All right, and say. Number one. Keep on. Mount up with wings like eagles. Number two. And. They shall run. All right. Number three. Number four. Not be weary. Any weary face this morning? Oh, no, none of you are weary. Let's go. They will? Oh, they will walk and not stumble, right? Okay, and lastly, and not? These are six ingredients on what it is to be creatively waiting in the presence of the Lord. You are to expect this to happen. So you think when you wait upon the Lord, it's being stagnant? You know, it's inactivity? How can you be inactive in seeing all of those taking place? You see how the Spirit generates that inner strength that comes from you? So it renews your strength, okay? Not only renew that strength, but all of the rest that take place now, you're not just be running, be walking, but first it lifts you up. You'll be above your circumstance. You will have wings like eagle. Your perspective of your situation is not below. It's not in the middle, but you're above. You have a higher perspective when you wait upon the Lord. That's still not my sermon. I'm just warming up, okay? All right, here we go. I'm trying to use this pointer, But it looks like the LED is more stronger than the light. All right. So mount up with wings like this. They will run. I don't know, are you in the carpool lane over speeding or whichever, but you will take on speed in accomplishing the work of God. You're not going to delay. You're not going to delay in being able to carry out the message. You'll run as quick to the very goal and destination God has for you. And that when you run and say, and not be weary, you won't take any you call this, you know, recharging if you're running on batteries. You will always have full tank in your gas. How's that? All right. You will run, not be weary, because you got a lot of reserve in the spirit. And you will walk. When you start cooling down, you start meditating, you will walk in the ways of the Lord. You will walk in the precepts, in the command, in the laws of God, and you will not faint. Summit total and say, the best man stands alone. That one man stands alone right there at the end of that journey. So talking about waiting upon the Lord, that's a few things that you have to digest a little bit and say, wow, this can happen to me. This is what it is generating when I pray, when I commune with God, when I read the scripture, when I come to church, worship. You know, all of this is happening in my spiritual being. So looking at the story in Bible Engagement Project, they brought out the story of Lazarus. So turn your Bibles to John 11. We'll pick out paragraphs there. I'm going to try to run it fast with you because I didn't want to miss at every point that I have for you. Number one, delays are not denials. Let's read verse 4 to 7. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Just think for a while. Jesus made a statement that said, what Lazarus' sickness will not end in death, but Lazarus died anyway, right? Are you being puzzled right now with the line of scriptures? It says, Jesus said, he will not die, and yet he passed away. Now, the conversation are in the two levels of different, because Jesus talking about death as sleeping. The natural mind, death was the end of earthly existence. Jesus' mind was spiritual existence. I'm downloading right away in the first so I don't lost you, okay? Okay, so Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Analyzing the scriptures, did Jesus delay intentionally? Nod your head like this. All right, Pastor. I'm trying to get a different side of this story. What? Jesus delayed for extra 2 days? Yes. You see, delays are not denials. When there is a little detour from that journey, you want to get the fastest as you can. Boom, Lord, I want my answer tomorrow. No, Lord, now. Hey, but God is God, and he's good even though there's delay. Even there's detours, God is still good. So use of the waiting. All of those 6 points that you heard and saw on the way, let them be reproduced in your life when you're waiting upon the Lord. Because again, all of those delays are not denials. God is taking you through a process. I think the golden word would start being to germinate in your heart and say, wow, I am in a process. And so here we go. And you know, Lazarus' sickness will not end to death. And yet something happened in the natural. So if you see the whole story, it was striking from the very statement, because they knew Lazarus is already dead. And yet Jesus said his sickness and this situation will not end into death. Are you hearing something in the spirit? God is saying to you this morning, what is your issue today will not end to your destruction. Take it. Whatever that is you are going through, you will not be destroyed. You will survive. You will be healed. You will be victorious. You will have the upper hand. I didn't hear an amen and hallelujah. You know, I don't know how we would go with this, but listen with your spirit, because this is not just about Lazarus now. This is about you. This is about America. This is about Heights Worship Center. This is about our community that God is talking to us this morning. Whatever we are going through in this natural life, Scripture says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Did you hear it? Did you hear that? What happened? It will not prevail. Who's the church, by the way? Right here, right here, right here. The gates of hell, the enemy, the darkness, the work of evil will not prevail against this. Why? This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells here. This is his home. This is his permanent residence. If you've not made him permanent resident, make him now. You want to be sure whatever happens in the future, you are secure. You are within his bounds of protection in his kingdom. So with that parameter, Jesus made a clear statement that inspires us all not only to focus on the issue of Lazarus, but to be able to focus on the issue of the things of the world today, including the church in America. Second, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Oh, I get it. That means things will happen because who would want to get the glory? So when we go through some of the hardships, right, where in this, Lord, you get the glory? Where in this, Lord, you get the glory? So when Brother Kyle steps up here and sings, who gets the glory? God. It's not whatever are the limitations that we have, right? So next time we go through some of this hardship, say, God, let's settle once and for all, Jesus. I know this is something I've never been through yet, but where in this whole process you get the glory? So are you looking forward to the defeat? No. You're looking forward for what? The glory of God that will generate from this process, right? But that's just the story of Lazarus. Here we go. You got your own story. You have your own story to tell that in the midst of all of these difficulties that you've been through, hey, you're still here. Come on. I'm still here. We're all still here, right? Hallelujah. And that is not just a consolation, but a great encouragement of God's faithfulness. Oh, lift up everybody's hand. You're faithful, God. What a song this morning, Jesus. Thank you that you have assured us, Lord, that you are a faithful God, not only good Father, you are faithful. That whenever we go through different circumstances in life, God, you remain the faithful one. We receive that this morning in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we can see, hallelujah, where God gets the glory, all right? So another potential thing happens whenever you go through some of these difficult times. God gets the glory. So if every one of us goes through these difficult moments and hardship, boy, we are giving all God the glory. Hallelujah. So there's no room for the evil one, no room for sin, no room for the principalities and powers of darkness to occupy. Why? We're giving God the glory. And whenever we give God the glory, he resides on that glory. He resides on that praise. He resides on the atmosphere of the glory that is being made manifest. Number three, and then he said he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. I think Jesus was practicing the Psalms, be still and know that the Father and he himself is God. All right? So to stay much more, not just than 2 days, because later on you would know the story that on the fourth day, actually, the body starts deteriorating. So Jesus is setting up a drama. The setup of the drama is that it was so impossible to to have Lazarus restored, not only his thinking, but he is already deteriorating. Okay, Jesus, after 3 days, he resurrected, right? Lazarus waiting for 4 more days. Because Jesus knew the skeptical, the agnostic, those that doubters that are around, for them to see that God works through impossibilities. Okay, I'm advancing, you know, because you will see that later on. But he stayed where he was there for next 2 days. So next time, you get the day, Lord, I thought it would be the day. You see, this is the deadline. You've been in that situation? You're on a divine setup. Hallelujah. You be ready for the manifest presence and power of God, because he's going to call forth for that answer and divine intervention your mind cannot tackle. Your mind cannot contain. Where in the world? How did this come into being? So don't complain. Wait with such creativity in the spirit, the major text that we have, that all of these 6 values of waiting upon the Lord, that he will renew your strength. Next 2 days, hallelujah. So intentionally, Jesus set this up so that the full manifest power and grace and the miracle that is about to unfold, people is going to see and know. Number two. So when we navigate through hardship waiting upon the Lord, delays are not denials. And number two, wait not in darkness, wait in the light. Reading the verse that we have here, wait in the light. Okay. And this, we would see, let me see. It looks, there you go. Wait in the light, do you have that? There you go. Let's read verse 9 to 11. Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. Number one, we see during the day, people can walk safely. So that means if we wait on daytime, we are safe in the light. We are in God's protection. We have the navigation that we needed. Don't wait in the council of darkness. Don't wait in the council of confusion. Wait in the council of the light of the Word of God. That's how we wait in the light. Wait worshiping. Wait praying. Wait in the Word. You can wait in worship in the congregation of many. They can see because they have the light of this world. Not only you, but the rest will see what God is doing in your life. You become an instant testimony when you wait in the light. Number three, okay, but at night there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus, here we go, Jesus said, has fallen asleep. So in the natural, he died. Jesus said, I have the final say. I have the final diagnosis. He's sleeping. What's your diagnosis this week? Last month? Who has the final say? Hallelujah. And Jesus said, 2 more days. Wait a little while. Okay, I have a good word for you, but wait in the light. Don't wait where there is confusion. Don't wait when there is bad counsel and pressure and stress, but wait in the light. I will finish the verse. Back to the verse again, please. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. So the process of resurrection was in a different level of conversation. Could you imagine what was in the mind of the natural mind of the people? What is he talking about? Lazarus is dead. And he said, is he out of his mind? You know, and the whole natural, you know, argumentation in the mind of the people generates more of the excitement for the faith that will later on be made manifest. Okay, and so we will go and wake him up. Jesus engaged them. Come with me. We together. Let's go there. We are going to see this together unfold. When you go through the process of waiting for your healing, for your deliverance, for the rescue of God, it is for the very simple reason others too will know it. Not because you are to brag, but because it is a testimony of what God has done for you. So we could see wait in the light. And that is what God allows us to do, to wait upon his wonderful working and deliverance for us. Number three, temporary setbacks for best result. We have that. The scripture that we want to read on this would be verses 12 to 15. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, will he soon get better? They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly. So Jesus leveled with them, say, okay, here we go. I'm going to come down to your level because I was talking to you above here. So now you see how God levels with you. But God, you don't know what I'm going through. Okay, wait until God says, I'm going to come down to your level. Here it is. I'm going to say it plainly in your level and your language. And so Jesus said, and this is just simply saying God identifies with you. He doesn't beat you in the head and say, come on, you're hard-headed. When are you going to grow up and mature and understand all of these things? No, okay, I'll gently bring you up. I'll come down back there, talk about your terms, and I bring up to you to my terms, all right? Lazarus had died, so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, okay, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let us go see him. Now, this is kind of like a conversation, boy, to and fro of how Jesus deals with the obstacle of unbelief. This is how Jesus deals with it. Okay, let me level with you. I'm saying this because for your own sake. All right? And I'm glad. And then he swung to the other side and maybe in between his breath by saying, I'm glad I'm not there. You see how Jesus said that? You know, said it to himself. But, you know, if this was something that John heard and wrote it, it was there and say, what is Jesus saying? He was so glad he was not there. He allowed Lazarus to die. Jesus killed Lazarus. Could you imagine if that is the conversation of today? Oh, Jesus killed Lazarus. Why? He didn't show up. He's got to be blamed. The blame game, you understand? It's happening. You know, I don't want to take you to the realities of America, all right? But when you begin to see this in parallel and understand the whole idea of confusing the message and the miracle is the enemy's business. But Jesus is about to make it plain when they get to see the manifest power of God on display, all right? So he said, for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, because if he was there, what would Jesus do? Then there will be no death. There will be no resurrection. He would not have been able maybe postpone the declaration of Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, it is a buildup of a momentum that later on Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, there has to be somebody who will die in order I can decree and declare, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm glad I wasn't there, because it is a setup. I'm going to decree and declare, I am the resurrection and the life. So I'm glad I wasn't there. So in the sense that this, what he wanted to reveal, this was a revelation. Jesus wanted for the people to know who he was as the Son of God, that he has power over death. He did not only have power for sickness and disease, because people have seen that level of miracle and healing already. Later on, you understand, they accuse him and say, he has healed the sick and the deaf and the lame. How come he cannot heal Lazarus? You see the circumstances that is playing in the story. And yet Jesus knew that there is a right time in order for that to happen. Hallelujah. Something is happening here. Amen. Okay, here we go. So let's go. Okay, come. Let's go and see him. The word come is a powerful word of invitation. I know there were a lot of people who heard Jesus say, come, let's go. Was he only addressing the disciples? Or Jesus was giving a blanket invitation for everybody to experience resurrection power? Hallelujah. The same invitation that he has for you and for me right now. So in Jesus' name, we release, Lord, a word of invitation for those that are in darkness to be brought into the marvelous light. We ask you, Lord, that they not only hear the gospel, but they will heed. They will obey the gospel to come to you, because they will find rest. They will find forgiveness of sin. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So we could see that the invitation has been given. Next, please. Number four, how long the wait, but God, Jesus, delivers. Let's look at the next scripture. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Who's talking? Martha, right? What's the last story about her? She got distracted. Mary has chosen, I'll bring you all over. I'll give you a little rundown. The last story about Martha, she was distracted. This time, she is not. She wants to be right there in the front line. Lord, I missed it last time. Not this time. So she started engaging in the conversation of this miracle that is about to happen. Lord, if you had been here, he could not have died. But, okay, Pastor Adon's best word, but God, all right? Even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask. Could you just apply that? Hallelujah. That's why we ask in the name of Jesus. That's why we ask according to the power of the word of God. Because when we ask, hallelujah, we know according to his will that he grants it for the greater purpose. Who gets the glory? He gets the glory. So here we see, you know, even though he has died, and I believe God is doing that for Heights Worship Center, whatever we asked, right now we're asking for our children, not only for our children, for families, we're asking for the many things in this nation, that God will grant us victory. We don't stop fighting for the biblical mandate of what God has for us. Just because we had a few things here and there happening in America, we don't stop now. Because we believe that we are going to go through the many other challenges, but we are going to be able to contend and stand in the gap. Remember, we stand in the gap in behalf of the need of the people. Number two, Jesus told her, and on this, you know, he said, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. She understood. She got level of theology of understanding. There's a great resurrection day. But Martha didn't get it, that you will have the premiere showing. You will get the premiere front row. Hallelujah. I thought that was so exciting. And Jesus, could you imagine? Jesus was just talking to this one lady. That means he can personally talk to you and take you at the level of your faith and be personal. I so believe that, and be personal for what you just needed for that very moment, for that season, and for that occasion that you have an encounter with God. Jesus said, then he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Challenge Martha's faith to the next level by saying, do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord. She told him, I have always believed you as the Messiah, the Son of God. What happened here? What was this? The shift? This is heavy, guys. Martha, she got distracted, got her revelation, though. Making a statement that Jesus was not just another good teacher. Look at the statement. Martha said, you are the Messiah. Did all Jerusalem understood that at that time? No. Martha is not distracted this time. She is so ready for the next level revelation. Heights, that's what I'm believing with you as our church. We're ready for the next level of revelation of God. Come on. Come on, with the preaching of Pastor Adon, with the way we live together in the realm of the power of the Spirit of God, we're going to be not lagging behind. We'll be their front row for everything that God has for us. So don't miss the Sundays, even though it's long weekend. No, just, all right, here we go. So, Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Martha acknowledges God answers prayer. With here, we say how long the wait, but God delivers. God delivered hope to Martha for the brother. What was delivered when Jesus decreed, I am resurrection? God delivered eternal life. What was delivered when Jesus, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die? God delivered revelation that Jesus is the Messiah of the world. Not only for Martha, but because she had front row. It's okay, Martha. You'll be there front row. We'll just be right behind you right now. Could you imagine the redemptive kind of a working of God to uplift a woman that was distracted? And yet now front row to receive that revelation, say, you are the Messiah. Number 5, and it's 11:29. I'm almost there. Okay, so next, following verse 33 and 39, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw that the people, other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. Why, Jesus? Why would you be angry? Unbelief? Why you would be angry? Because not everybody was really sympathizing. It was a show. Why Jesus would be angry? Of Satan and darkness. Get the bottom line, right? Of Satan and darkness that says he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the bottom anger of God. Enemy has come to steal the life of his friend. You know how Jesus feels for you now? It's go deep. That is going to go deeper. But I need to take you step by step how Jesus identified friendship with him. Because they are not just in a level of acquaintance. They are best friends. And Jesus is just so angered, welled up within him. He was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. And here's the shortest verse in the whole Bible. Then Jesus wept. On King James Version, it would just be two lines. Jesus wept. Could you imagine the humanity of Jesus on display? I have to take a little step back. Wow. Jesus showed his humanity and swing back later on to the powerful divinity on how he's gonna execute judgment over death. But at this stage, he identified to maybe the lowest of the low feeling, emotion. It's okay to have emotions. God identifies with that. Jesus can shed a tear with you. So whenever you go through hardship, and boy, it's really the pain and say, Jesus, this is so unbearable. And maybe you say, I'm shedding a tear, daughter. I'm shedding a tear, son. I know exactly. And how this is, you are going through the process. But wait patiently. Wait in my presence. Wait in the light. Wait in my covenant promises, because I'm going to reveal to you myself in a personal way. Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. Then man healed a blind man, and here are the scoffers. Then this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told him. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. I'm going to put that paragraph hanging. I was planning to move on to the next, but the smell was terrible. So the impossibility of the setting of the paragraph is setting on all natural aspect, as the condition of Lazarus is irreversible. Just put it that way. No human, no medical, no power on earth would be able to reverse that condition. When Jesus wept, Jesus was touched with the feelings of our infirmity. This paragraph is a way of how Jesus begins to unveil his humanity to the people when he wept, touched with the feelings of our infirmity. The bystanders are there to mock, intimidate. The mob would do protest of what Jesus has done, and as I said earlier, maybe blame Jesus for the cause of the death of Lazarus. But as we know, the mob, the protesters, don't have the final say. Jesus does. The Word of God has the final say. And a new ministry was born. The Rolling Stone Missions. Who would want to roll the stone? I guess me, you, people, you can put this into a very nice comedy. The smell, right? Think about the smell, okay? You, did they push around? Or your imagination is best on this. But when Jesus said, roll the stone aside, you can... My head right now, when I say spinning, with different possibilities, pushing around and say, and the ladies stood up and say, if you guys don't do this, we the ladies gonna do this. And say, okay, guys, come on, our wives, we're gonna be in trouble if we don't do this. How that is being played around, the stone has been rolled away. I think if I would remember the last time I preached this, how many? I think we were still in Vallecito. I remember. I kind of put my notes. I gave everyone in the church a little stone, a rock. I was supposed to do that again and refresh you. I gave little rocks to everyone in church. So every time you see that little rock, you would know that you are to roll that stone. So I'm not giving you any little rock. You got to pick up your own rock and put it someplace, paperweight, in your desk, just so you can remember this rock. I'm rolling that stone for my miracle today. I will roll that impossibility, that barrier, closer to the presence of God. Roll that stone. And I could remember and say, Jesus, should I do it again this morning? No. Because the way the mind and the brain works, that if that activity in the spirit happens within, you know, the activity of retention of what the word is more powerful. It helps to have an illustration. But what I do, I say this in faith, believing that the Holy Spirit would so remind us all. Okay? So now everybody has the Rolling Stone ministry. Let's roll it, hallelujah, until Jesus comes. And lastly, but Lord has been dead for 4 days. All right? It's 4 days, but I am God. All right? It's impossible. It's bad. You know, the doctor already said this is the final diagnosis. Let me get a second opinion. Get the second opinion from here. Get the second opinion from the Holy Spirit. And begin to engage yourself and say, yes, it will be stinking. And yet I smell a different aroma of worship and prayer. I begin to smell a different aroma of faith that is burning in the incense and in the altar of God. That wins my heart over to believe God for the impossibility. So that was his waiting. And lastly, if that is the process where Jesus identifies with us, the last point we have, stay waiting and see God's glory. We'll go to the final verse, please. Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people." Second time mentioned that I say it for the sake of the people. I say it loud for the sake of all of these people standing here. And the scripture is being read, saying it loud again for our sake this morning. All right? Standing, so they will believe you, that believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with grave clothes, his face wrapped in head cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Wow, give a hand of praise to Jesus. The delay, the hardship, the process was so we can be a part to see God's glory. Wow, what a setup. So next time when we go through that scale and the seesaw and the balance and the swing of the pendulum on what we're going to do while waiting, I pray that we will be won over with the fact we're going to see the glory of God. We will be so won over, not with all the other details, but Lord, I'm going to see your glory. I'm not going to let that stone, that rock, that barrier block my view from the reality of who you are. I'm going to see the glory. Did I tell you that you would see the glory if you believe? Amazing how Heights Worship Center has discovered and has come together to belong, believe, become. Because we're set up to see the glory of God. If the worship team can come up and join me here and say, God, today we're set up as a church because we're ready to see your glory. Number two, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here. Hallelujah. The reason why Jesus has to speak it out loud. Hallelujah. To bring in conviction. To let people know that this event has to be posted, has to be broadcasted, has to be made known. Jesus has a way of proclaiming, hallelujah, the good news out loud, unashamed, that today we as his body would do the same. Lord, we share our witness loud and clear, because for the sake of those that needed to know and hear what the word of God has to say, I believe that we are set up to say it out loud in the schools, to say it out loud in our community, to say it out loud in our family. Come on, people. I'd like for you to be ready Thanksgiving Day to say it out loud. Whether if you just have to pray for the Thanksgiving prayer for the meal, say it out loud. Don't be ashamed. Whatever is the opportunity to say it out loud, to decree and declare that God is in control, that he gets all the Thanksgiving praise and glory and blessing. Hallelujah. We are not ashamed to say it out loud for the greater of the glory of God. That's the reason I think worship team has the song, Shout to the Lord, All the Earth. I'm giving them a little clue. All right. All of this is being orchestrated by the Holy Spirit in understanding why we all here today and honoring our veterans for the way that they have given. Hallelujah. They shout out loud freedom. Hallelujah. For all of us through their sacrifices. So Jesus too. Hallelujah. When he was hanging on the cross, unashamed to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And with this, we could begin to continue to say, then Jesus shouted out loud to Lazarus. Wow. Lazarus, come out. Woo. Question. If Jesus did say, come out, without saying Lazarus' name. Now you're smiling. Oh. What's your imagination? Okay, there could be demons in those crowd that when Jesus said, come out, I don't know if some of those demons will go to the pigs and all the pigs in the community get drowned. Could you imagine? Now, or if there are other caves and tomb, all other deads will come out too. Come out! No. Sorry. My 50th year, this year of being a pastor, you know, just give God the glory, please. Stories, real stories of different encounter of darkness. Just briefly, there was a long line of people wanting to be prayed for, coming closer when we pray. But third, fourth row person, I see the person doing like this, mumbling words. Then later on, spat on the hand. I knew exactly that he was murmuring incantation and curses. So when he reached out to me and shake my hands, there was an encounter of power. Having had discerned by the Holy Spirit, I did not shake the hand. I embrace. I locked in the power of darkness and say, I am not afraid. I am locking you in and delivering you in the name of Jesus. situation and circumstances we're in, fear can surge in the encounter of darkness. But because God gives you the measure of faith, you can identify, watch this now, you can identify the Lazaruses in your life. Don't be afraid to call them out. Come on, okay? You understand this level now of conversation? Don't be afraid to identify and call out the sin, call out the devil, call out the works of darkness and say, come out in Jesus' name. You be cast out in Jesus' name. Identify the spirit of infirmity. Identify the spirit of darkness and say, come out in Jesus' name. So Lazarus came forth. There are two things that we have to notice in the story. Jesus allowed the public, people, the onlookers, the bystanders, to participate. We have no list of the people who rolled the stone. Could you imagine the evangelist and the testimony people? I was there, man. I rolled a stone. You know the conversation and the bragging later on? I was there. I wrote, right, man. We're all there together rolling the stone. Yeah. How it stinks, but it was okay. We rolled a stone, right? When Lazarus came out, there was one big problem. Rolling the stone was okay. But next was Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Who was willing, you have to understand, who was willing to touch a previously dead man's body? You see, tradition will make you unclean. Those are dead man's clothing. There has to be days of purification after which you have touched a dead body. So the issue that was running through the head of the people that was there was just so impossible. Now a miracle has to happen. Has happened. Who's gonna unwrap it?
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.